Tonight, Chris asked me, so you're going to preach tonight? I said, well, I don't know how many is going to sing, but I'm actually not going to preach a message. I'm going to finish the message this morning. I cut it short just a little bit because there's one other aspect of the book of life I want to bring to play. This morning, we showed how that people living has an opportunity of being saved. You open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5 just a moment. In Romans chapter 5 and verse number 19, I want to take you two or three places real quickly. I'm not going to hold you very long at all, but I want to make a point tonight and to finish up on the message of the book of life. Now this morning we picked our text in Revelation chapter 20 at the great white throne judgment. When all the dead souls that had died physically and they were dead spiritually, they went down to Hades or hell, to the heart of the earth, waiting for the great judgment, where they would come up in the resurrection of the damned, be reunited with somebody that God has for them. They'll stand before the great white throne, and then they will face the second death, the eternal death, into the lake of fire. And there they'll be forever and ever and ever. And so we warn people this morning that if you died in your sins, that will be your future. The moment that you die in your sins, physically you die, because you are spiritually dead, you will open your eyes in torments of Hades or hell, the heart of the earth. The Bible tells us. And there you'll wait till the time comes for the great white throne judgment, when you will be brought forward, reunited with a body, and be tossed and cast into the lake of fire. And there will be your future forever and ever and ever. In Romans chapter 5, in verse number 19, says, as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now what he's saying is this. He's saying that no sin is so deep, so great, that God's grace is not better. That it cannot rescue you, as some of you sung. What happens is sin reigns on the throne of your life. When you're not saved, what reigns in you, what controls you, whether you like to admit it or not, and what sits on the throne is sin. It is hard to cast sin away and allow the Lord to come in. That's where the will comes in, the battle of the will. You must surrender your will to God's will. And that submission of putting your faith and trust in Christ will allow grace to come in and reign where sin once reigned. Amen? Now, I said that to say this. In prison, there is a term. They call certain people that has a life sentence, that has received the death penalty, dead man walking. As they're walking to the electric chair, whatever they may be to take their life, they call out as they walk, dead man walking. Tonight, I want to conclude the book of life by saying, and I want you to listen, there are some occasions where even though you are physically still alive, you become a dead man walking. Let's look at a couple, if you would. Look, if you would, in Romans, since we're in Romans, look in Romans chapter number 1. In Romans chapter number 1, the Bible says in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Somebody asked, what has happened to our world and what's happening to our country? We've got people that does not know God. Their heart has been darkened. They are not thankful for what they have. They are not thankful to who they should be. Their vain imagination, their foolish heart have been darkened. They can't see the light. They can't see the truth. Chris has been talking, someone been educating her on how education, she's just not with it, with her education and knowledge, she's not wise enough to know that abortion, there's no such thing as abortion anymore. It's just women's right to choose. Has nothing to do with a baby. Just has to do with women's right to choose. And so she's argued with her, and she wants to argue with her about how it has nothing to do with the life of a baby. Well, what makes people like that? Their mind has been darkened. They don't want to see the light. Notice verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. A fool says in his heart, there is no God. A fool thinks he has his own future ahead of him. Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Only fools does things like that. They think they live their life without God involved in it. Verse 23. They change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creepy things. Wherefore, a God also gave them up, notice this, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Do you see that? God gave them up. Now listen to me. Some people say, well, as long as people got breath, anyone can be saved. No. Sometimes God does a judicial act upon someone's life while they're still living. He says, enough. And when he says enough, he says, I give you up. And when God gives you up, there's nobody to rescue you. And so the Bible says that God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. In other words, they got to the point where they were living their lifestyles, rejecting what God had said, didn't want to take God into consideration. Notice in verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie. They always want to support their lifestyle with a lie. They want to look, well, this is what sign. I was that way from birth. No, you wasn't. Your lust has made you that way. You have gotten that way through your own sinful acts. Notice this. Change the truth of God in lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust one toward another. Not that they were born to love one another. They left the woman, and their lust had taken them to burn in their lust one for another. Man craving man. Those this, one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Now, notice that there was a penalty. When it says a recompense, it means a penalty of what they did that was due them. Look in verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind is a debased mind. One that does not have guilt in the actions in which they're taken. And said, reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now, let me stop there and say this. It's a dangerous thing When you begin to forget God, leave God out of every equation in your life, live your life without God, and go down paths where God has forbidden, things that God has said is abominations, you decide that you're going to go down that path. And as you begin to feed your lust will grow. It will get worse. But there comes a time in some people's lives, and God puts it here, and he said that what he does is he gives them up. They are dead men walking. When God gives them up and gives them over a reprobate mind means a mind that no longer feels guilt and sees guilt in the sin in which they are committing. Right now you see our country full of gay pride. They have gay pride parades, and they'll be going up through there with their little G-strings and kissing each other and loving, lusting each other and looking like a bunch of fools. And they go down there and they're so proud. Little they realize, many of them are dead men walking. Someday, they'll draw their last breath. But in the meantime, they don't understand. The lifestyle that they're living is walking, it's like walking through a mine field. Not knowing the moment that you're going to cross that line that God says, okay, if that's what you want, I'll judge you now instead of waiting at the great white throne judgment. And I'll pull my convicting power. I'll no longer draw you to come to me. I'll no longer convict you of your sin, and you can have your own way. But you're a dead man walking. And the Bible says, you better be careful. Somebody said, well, as long as they live, yes, that's true until God determines that enough is enough, and he says, I've turned you over to reprobate mind. And I've heard people try to explain this away. I've heard this gay crowd try to explain this chapter away, do away with Paul, but they can't change the fact. When God says something is abomination, it's always abomination. He never changes his mind. You say, well, it's legal now. Not with God, it's not. And I'm going to tell you something. This group is in danger. And I would not want, and that's why I've tried to dissuade any of you from going down that path. You say, well, so-and-so, I mess with it. But you need to be very careful. You go down there, and your lust will keep drawing you in. And somewhere along the way, God does a judicial act, and he says, I give you up. And remember, when God gives you up, you're given up. There's no possible way of being saved when God is not drawing you. Amen? Look on, if you would, in the book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus, chapter number 7. Here we have a situation, and the book of Romans chapter 9 also deals with this. Pharaoh having his heart hardened. Need to be careful. Today is the day of salvation. Be careful and not harden your heart. While you're turning in Exodus chapter 7, flip over if you would to Hebrews chapter number 3 real quickly. Hebrews 3, I want to read a verse before I get into this. The Bible says in verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be what? Hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now turn back, if you would, to Exodus chapter 7. Notice in Exodus chapter 7 what God says in verse number 1, the Lord speaking to Moses, and look in verse 3. He says this in chapter 7 of Exodus. I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. Look, if you would, in verse 13. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he hearkened not unto them. Now, what makes God harden someone's heart? Well, also, if you look in chapter 8, when Moses did the plague of the frogs, the magicians in Egypt did that plague too. Notice verse 7. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Look in verse 15. But when Pharaoh saw that they were respite, that means a relief of the frogs, he what? Hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. In other words, the fact that he found relief through the magicians, he hardened his heart toward God. Look on. In chapter 8, notice in verse number 32. So you had God hardening his heart, the magicians hardening his heart, their acts. And look in verse 32. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go. Now, why? What did God do to harden Pharaoh's heart? Well, again, God was moving judicially upon the nation of Egypt. And he was moving judicially upon Pharaoh. Now, there comes a time when sometimes God moves judicially upon people, just like he did in Romans. But here, Pharaoh, he was a king. And so what God did was, he made a demand of Pharaoh. And when he made that demand, the demand was to let his people go. And so therefore, Pharaoh didn't like to have the demand of God. Number one, it wasn't politically good for him because he used the people, there was millions of them, he used the people of Israel for slavery, free slaves. Number two, to let it go, the people would look at him and challenge his authority of who he was because it would make him look weak. Number three, his pride. Who is the Lord that I should hearken unto him? He had pride. And so the second thing God did was send plagues. And every time he'd send a plague, then Pharaoh would come and repent, and God would raise that, relieve him of the plague. But the Bible says that he hardened his heart. Then when the magicians was able to do, and he found relief from it, then again he would begin to get humbled. Then he realized, and he looked at physicians, and then he wasn't giving God the credit for what was happening. He thought since his physicians or magicians could do it, then it wasn't God at all doing the frogs. And again, he hardened his own heart. He put his own self-interest. Now, what does that have to do with us? There's a grave danger in hardening your heart to the point. Some people get so hardened that they're able to be seduced. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, notice if you would in verse number 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, by the way, the latter times speaks of the latter times of the last days. Some depart from faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. What he's talking about is having a conscience seared. It's like taking a brand and laying a red hot fire to you and going down into your flesh where it burns your flesh to the point where it burns all your nerve endings. and all you're left with is a burnt spot, and you can touch it after it dies. You can touch it. There's no feeling there. What happens is, it's the latter days of the last days. And by the way, the last days began when Jesus left. The latter times is when we're living and seeing the prophecy, as God foretold it. And what we're seeing is, somebody said, why are these people so angry? Why are they able to kill? Why are they able to destroy? I mean, they'll stop a car and pull a woman out and just beat her. No reason. People are in such shapes that they're seducing evil spirits. And I believe that many people are possessed. And they are in a position where their conscience is so seared, they have no feeling. And man, that's a dangerous place to be. Again, that's a dead man walking. When you get where you're so hardened, you have no sensitivities, you have no feeling, your conscience does not bother you. You can go up and take a gun and shoot a guy in the head and take his tennis shoes and never lose a moment's sleep. Conscience is seared. Have no repentance. You see these people go to court and they've killed and murdered and raped 10, 12, 18, 20 people, and they look and they have no remorse. Their conscience is seared. You know what they are? Dead men walking. Let me give you one more and I'm going to close. Second Thessalonians. The same gospel, listen, the same gospel that was life unto us, like Brother Eric was singing a while ago, the joy that came into being saved, it's death to others. Death unto death. It's death unto death to some that rejects it, life unto life for those who receives it. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, talking about when the Antichrist comes, the mystery of iniquity, the church, saints are taken away. The Holy Spirit's taken away. The Antichrist is made known. Then the Bible says in verse number 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. See that little word perish? Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all, see that little word all? You know what that means? Yeah, all. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. What that's talking about is, you've heard me preach on this before, I'm not going to dwell on it, but when the Lord comes back, and we don't know when he's going to come back, maybe tonight, maybe while I'm preaching. Whenever he comes back, he's going to take away the saints of God. We call it the rapture, but the Bible talks about catching away. And we're going to be caught away. What's going to happen is everybody else is going to be left behind. Now, during that time, we know that the 144,000, chapter 12, 7 of Revelation, in 14 of Revelation, is going to be given the commission of preaching the gospel. And they're going to see a lot of people saved. But imagine this. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, if the Lord was to come back, you're left. Everyone who's heard the gospel and rejected it and refused to believe it, you know what you're going to be during the tribulation time? Dead man walking. The Bible says he's going to send a strong delusion upon you. You will believe a lie. You will not even know what the truth is. And you will not have an opportunity to repent because you will not understand where people's gone. You'll not understand what's taking place. I had a man tell me, when I see all of you gone, I'm going to get saved. I said, oh, no, you won't. And I was trying to witness to him, give him the gospel, but he didn't want the gospel. I said, when that time comes, you will be damned. If you are living when the rapture takes place, you will be damned because you have believed not the truth. And you will go into tribulation, and you will just be walking a man damned to die without any hope. So this morning I preached on the book of life. But what I want to get across to you is this. Not everybody has to die physically to be able to be determined dead spiritually without hope. When God gives you up, you're without hope. When your conscience has been seared, you're without hope. The Lord comes back and leaves you behind, you're without hope. That's why he says, today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Because every time you harden your heart, it gets easier to harden it a little more the next time. Today is the day of salvation. And so this evening, I just want you to know, if you're here, and maybe you're here and you're not saved, if God is speaking to you, you ought to come tonight. Because you say, well, I've got a long life ahead. You don't know that. But you definitely don't know. You don't know when the Lord's going to come back. And you don't want to be a dead man walking with no hope, determined to hell is your destiny. Because you say, well, preacher, you don't know what kind of life I've had. Listen to me. Thank God, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. God can save you unless you cross a judicial line where he says enough is enough is enough. I'll never forget this. I sat at a man's bed one time, and he looked at me crying, and he said, preacher, there was a time in my life when God drew me to come. I rejected him because I wanted to live my life and I wanted to enjoy my life, and I was not going to surrender to him. He said, now I'm fixing to die and go to hell, and I do not feel his Holy Spirit deal with me whatsoever anymore. And within 2 hours, he was dead. I thought, what a sad, sad testimony. You say, what did you do? All I could do is pray. And I didn't know what to pray for. Because a man was telling me, he said, preacher, it's not there. There's no sense of praying. He left me a long time ago. God should not always, his spirit should not always strive with man. And so today is a day to make those decisions. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Give a song of invitation if you would. Maybe you're here. You know, this morning there was more than that one today that was under conviction. And maybe you're here tonight and you say, preacher, I was one of those ones this morning. I know I need to be saved. Why don't you step out and come? Would you do that tonight? Wouldn't it be terrible to know what you know and yet the Lord come and you be left behind? We don't know when the Lord may come. That's why today, if you hear his voice, you need to surrender. Amen. Let's sing.
Page 368 in the red book. Page 368.